Let's turn in our Bibles to James chapter 5. If all you had to go on was the hymns we picked out, you might be thinking I'm getting ready to preach on Christ coming back again. And it was my original intention to include it in the sermon. But it's going to have to wait for next week. This whole sermon is going to be about patience. Now, twice he says in James 5, 7, and 8, twice he says, be patient unto the coming of the Lord. And then in verse 8, he says, I'm telling you again, be patient. The Lord is drawing near. And God willing, I try not to lock into anything, but God willing, I want to include some thoughts about his coming next week. But today, you don't have to guess or wonder or try to think about what's his theme today. It's about one word. It's about one character quality. There are a number of character qualities that I've tried to emphasize over the years, especially in our family setting, home setting, and shepherding. That's been a big part of our training, big part of our discipleship, big part of our parenting is character qualities. It's been a big part of my ministry as a pastor. It's been a big part of my learning as a member of God's family, because our whole purpose in life is to develop the character of Christ. And the more we understand the trials and pressures of life, and God's purpose behind the trials and pressures of life are to develop Christ-like character, then we understand how all things work together for good. Otherwise, we don't see much good in it. And we may be murmuring or complaining or sometimes bickering or fighting because we just don't see the good. And we're certainly not ready to give thanks for it because, you know, what is there to give thanks for? And so one of the early church fathers, Chrysostom, he said that patience, he considered patience to be the queen of the virtues. I would say I agree with him. I think it's in the upper tier. I believe as far as the character qualities I see in the Bible, as far as the, if you're going to rank the character qualities, which, you know, they're all essential, but I would say that patience is up in the upper tier. Now, years ago, I learned the definition of patience, which, by the way, he mentions patience, I think, 7 or 8 times here. He mentions the coming of the Lord twice, but he mentions patience 7 or 8 times. He says, be patient. In one verse, he says, long patience in the King James, verse 7, I believe it is, long patience. Then he talks about the patience of the prophets of the Old Testament. He says, you cannot effectively minister the word of God and have spiritual fruit come from it, whether it's a prophet or a pastor or an individual believer, somebody trying to help his family. You'll never see the spiritual fruit you need to see unless you understand this character quality of patience. He said, look at the prophets. Look at how much patience was needed in the prophets. And I just want to go ahead and say this right now. I got a whole list of scriptures. If I get to it, I want to mention where it talks about patience. But one that stood out to me in particular is when Paul talked about the signs of an apostle. You know, there were supernatural signs. Paul says the signs of an apostle were evident among you in my ministry. And he talked about the signs and the wonders in that verse. But right before he talks about the signs and the wonder miracles, he said, the signs of an apostle are evident among you. And the first thing he talks about is not signs and wonders in the normal sense of what we consider to be a sign and wonder of those miracle things that took place that authenticated the word of God, authenticated the apostleship ministry, all those miraculous miracles that we normally think about. The first thing he mentions is patience. Patience being a sign of an apostolic ministry. Wow. One place in Titus, it talks about the aged men of the church, and it talks about the maturity they should have, and it talks about the evidence of that Christian maturity. And in the list of things it gives as far as the evidence of Christian maturity, as far as the aged men of the church, it lists patience. If you've learned anything, if you've lived long enough and you've learned anything over the years of living, you're either going to learn it from the scripture or God's going to teach it to you in life experiences. That patience is a cardinal virtue. Now, the context here, the immediate context, has to do with the corruption, the persecution, the oppression that comes from the injustices of the world, and the world is full of that because of the sinfulness of man, the depravity of man. In every generation that has ever been, there's been injustices. It didn't just start in our day. Amen? It didn't just start in our day, and it's still going on. All you got to do is turn the news on, and you'll hear about it. But there is no resolution to injustice among men. There's no military solution to it. There's no political solution to it. There's no economic solution to it. So if you're putting your bag, your apples in that bag, you're not going to ever see it. It doesn't come that way. It's not accomplished that way. That's why Jesus said you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. People can't get along with each other. And the corruption and the oppression and the injustices continue. And they will continue. And the prophets that had the patience spoke with great power and great authority. The Old Testament prophets spoke with great authority and great power about this subject. Especially Amos, the prophet Amos. If you go back and read that prophet, that whole emphasis in his writings is about justice. And he talks about how powerful God is to bring justice about. And God is bringing justice about, and God will bring justice about. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man is sowing, he also will reap. And God's got the final say of what's going on, and he's already judging, and he will judge. He will continue to judge, especially at the Lord's coming. At the Lord's coming, everything will be judged. Amen and amen and amen. It'll all be judged. Every person, all of us, will have to give an account to God, and everybody in the world will have to give an account to God for what we've done in our body. Nobody dies and you don't exist anymore. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this there is judgment. There is a judgment, and that's why we connect that with the Lord's coming. When the Lord comes back again, there will be judgment connected with his coming in a big-time way. As far as what Revelation and a lot of the prophecy talks about, but also the throne of judgment at his coming. So with that said, we have to know how to wait upon the Lord to renew our strength in the midst of a lot of things that are disorderly and out of control and getting worse and worse, as the Bible says. Things will wax worse and worse. Let me share another scripture about patience here. Hebrews 12 talks about that great cloud of witnesses that have already run the race. And it talks about the only way you can run the pilgrimage of the Christian life properly. First, you have to keep looking unto Jesus Christ, first and foremost. Last night I was praying and meditating. I'm so thankful the Lord brought John 15 to mind. So thankful he brought John 15 to mind. He talks about if you abide in me, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you. And the part that God spoke to me about is, yes, the word, his word has to abide in us, but what if we're in a condition or at the moment we can't remember or don't see a scripture that applies? So I've visited people in the hospital, and they say, Pastor, in my condition, I know the scripture says bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, but in my condition, having had this stroke, that's a very challenging thing. If you abide in me, I'm telling you, we have the Son of God, the Lamb of God, the Savior, the Redeemer, the resurrected Jesus Christ, who lives in me. He lives in me. And if I do not recognize that I can only do all things, I can only do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If it's not through his life, I'll never be patient. Is everybody with me? I don't care how hard you work at being patient. I mean, how many times you redouble your efforts? How many times you have good intentions? How many times you make New Year's resolutions? How many messages you've heard about it? If it's not abiding in Jesus Christ, it will not be accomplished. And I'm telling you, the hope of the world, as far as injustices, is only found in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ alone. We cannot get along with other people if we do not have Christ living inside of us. There will be no resolution to it. And if we don't abide in Christ, we've seen it over and over again in James. He keeps talking about how we as believers have a hard enough time not being in the flesh and staying in the spirit. I'm telling you, if we do not constantly abide. I love that hymn, constantly abiding. That's what it's all about. It's not me trying hard to do something for God. I tell you, if you try to do something for God, it'll wear you out. It'll wear you out. It will burnout. It will burn you out. No pastor can build a church for God. And you'll burn out if you try to build a church for God. Nobody can build their own family. You'll burn out if you try to build your own family. Unless the Lord builds the house. Unless the Lord builds the house. Every ounce, every bit of our energy, every bit of our labor will be in vain. It's got to be through the strength of God himself. The strength of the life of Christ within. But we're not going to abide in him if we don't nail down this character quality. We'll lose heart, we'll lose hope, we'll be dismayed, we'll be discouraged, we'll be depressed, we'll be overwhelmed, we'll be frustrated, we'll be irritated, we'll have everything but a sweet disposition. It gets the best of you. It gets the best of you because we can't handle it. We're without hope apart from Christ, without hope horizontally in the world situations, and we're without hope internally in our own soul without Jesus Christ, if we don't abide in him. They that wait upon the Lord, what will they do? Renew their strength. Now, I want to tie this in with Hebrews and running the race and how you run it. Because the other day I was doing something and I got to where I was going and I had a heavy load I was carrying. And by the time I got to where I was going, I had something I was about to do. And I said, there's no way I'm going to try to do that because I don't have the wind left within me to try to do it. And it'd be very dangerous for me to try to do that. I did not have the wind in me. And I decided the safe thing to do is not do it. And so you say, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say, let us run the race of the Christian life. It can only be run. To me, it boggles the mind. How do you run and at the same time be patient? It's just kind of like you got to integrate that. Run the race with patience. Looking unto Jesus, number one. Abiding in Jesus, number one. And as you keep looking to him and you're gaining strength from him, gaining courage from him, gaining hope from him, he never changes. He's always the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our circumstances change. People around us change. Everything in the world is changing. We never know what's coming next. But praise God, our Lord Jesus Christ is always the same. He's always the same. And you get strength. You get hope. You get encouragement. The grace of God is multiplied. God gives you the desire to do his will. He gives you the power to do his will. When you don't have any energy left, or you don't have any hope left, or you don't have any will left, or you just don't, you feel like you're at the end of everything and you're pressed in on every side. I'm telling you, he can strengthen you. He can strengthen you. If you wait upon him. Wait upon him is part of the dynamic of patience. It's part of the dynamic of patience. And prayer is a critical dynamic of developing patience. Prayer is a critical dynamic of abiding in him. And the reason why I say that, if you look at the rest of chapter 5, as soon as we're done where we are now, he's going to go into a whole discussion about prayer in James 5. After he makes all these points about patience, patience of the prophets, patience of Job, signs of an apostle, patience, so forth and so on, he goes into a whole discussion about prayer and how critically important prayer is to develop this character quality of patience. See, when we're running the race, we can get de-winded. The wind can be taken out of us by the circumstances of life. And we just don't feel like we got any wind to go on. And it's at that point, by prayer, as it says about David in the Old Testament, David encouraged himself in the Lord. David encouraged himself in prayer of fellowship and worship with the Lord. And I tell you, a good time to build an altar if you're having trouble sleeping, build an altar in the night season with God. There's lots of altars to be built in the night season with God. There's lots of good things that happen when you build an altar. I've been building altars with people in prayer in these days. That's why during the daytime. But you can build altars with God in the night season. And find release and find peace and find quietness and find his enabling to know how to pray for others. If you have quietness in your own soul, then you have opportunity to pray for others. Amen? Opportunity to pray for others. Now, in James, in chapter 5, like I said, 7 times, 8 times he mentions the word patience. 1 time in the King James, it's translated endure. In chapter 5. The other times it's translated patience. But if you want to understand why he says therefore, the first thing he says in verse 7 is therefore, you got to go all the way back to the first chapter of the book. We talked about the injustices in the immediate context. But if you go all the way back to James chapter 1, when he begins his letter, he begins it and he ends it. And everything in between, the only remedy for all this stuff I've been preaching at for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks to remedy these things that he says, this shouldn't be, this shouldn't be, this shouldn't be, this shouldn't be, is to understand patience. That's why I got parked on this. He says, count it all joy, brethren, count it all joy. And that word all is very important. All patience. He talks about all patience. There's never a situation that God's not going to give you grace to have patience in it. All patience. Count it all joy, and then all patience that God gives. He's the God of all patience. Himself, God himself in Scripture is characterized by his patience. If we're going to be godly, then patience has got to be an essential part of our development and maturity. I tell you, you cannot be a mature believer without patience. Let patience, he said, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, because the testing of your faith, what am I working? Through this fiery trial, what am I working? The testing of your faith, what am I producing? What am I after here? The testing of your faith worketh patience. And then he says, let patience have what? This is incredible. This is incredible to me. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. That's an incredible promise from God. When I read that again this time, I thought about what he said about the tongue. He said, if a man can bridle his tongue, he's able to bridle also his whole body. Remember that? He's saying the same thing about this character quality. That you may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. I jotted down in my notes two words when I was meditating on this. Stable. God will stabilize me. He'll stabilize me. The Bible talks about being rooted and being grounded in Christ. Amen? He says, don't be double-minded like the wave of the sea being tossed to and fro by the circumstances of life. And whatever circumstances are coming your way, you go that way. And some other circumstance, you go that way. He talks about being rooted and being grounded. The stability, that's where the maturity is. Instead of the roller coaster up and down, up and down, up and down experience as a believer, we're talking about a steady, I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining. Every day, we're not talking about an up and down. We're talking about a stability, a maturity, because you're rooted and you're grounded in the life, the abiding, you're abiding in the life of Christ. Let the storms blow. Let the storms have their wailing howl or whatever noise they're making. In Jesus Christ, there is peace. In Jesus Christ, there is rest. In Jesus Christ, there is strength. In Jesus Christ, there is hope. In Jesus Christ, he is greater. He is greater than all the powers of darkness at the highest level, and certainly greater than anything going on planet Earth. My anchor holds, though the stormy winds blow. Now, there's two Greek words for patience. And the Greek word in chapter 5 of James is different from the Greek word in chapter 1 of James. And these, by the way, I'd encourage every one of you, if you do not have a interlinear Bible, interlinear Bible, is one of the most helpful tools you could ever have if it doesn't just show you the word in the Greek, but it shows you the Greek in the English. If you get one of the interlinear Bibles, make sure it's got the English version of the Greek word. If you're not a Greek scholar, it'll be very helpful to you, which most of us aren't. Interlinear Bible, it gives you the English word and it gives you the Greek word. It's like, for instance, in the beginning was the word. That's the Greek word logos. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes by the word of God. That is not the Greek word logos. That is the Greek word rhema. And there's a world of difference between the Greek word logos and the Greek word rhema. You've heard me speak about it many times. We're at the same point here with patience and the two different dynamics of the two Greek words that are used. And it's very important to understand the difference between them and understand the dynamics of them as to God developing this in our life. In Colossians, there is a prayer in chapter 1. And Paul prayed that you might be, he's praying, this is the way we should pray for each other. We should pray that each other is filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that we all might be able to walk worthy of the Lord. And then he gives four characteristics. They're very definable characteristics of a worthy walk. Of those four, one of them is what I'm preaching on right now. The two words that's used for patience are in one of the four characteristics. And he translates it this way and this way. And he says, now those, if you have those two operative in your life, then you will be walking worthy of his life, because that's the way he walked. That was the character of his life. Would all of you agree with me it takes a lot of patience with people in life? Would all of you agree with me? Listen, I'm not blaming anybody. I'm talking about me. It takes a lot of patience with me, okay? I'm pointing at me. I'm not pointing at others. I'm so thankful for this fellowship and the patience of this fellowship with me, period. I'm not looking at how far I've come. I'm looking at how far I've got to go. One Greek word has to do with patience with people. The other Greek word has to do with patience with your circumstances. Now, in Colossians, he talks about that you might be strengthened with all might to patience and long-suffering. That's that one of those characteristics of a worthy walk, that you might be strengthened with all might unto all patience. It means every category is covered. Don't tell me that your situation, that you can't have patience in it. God says every situation is covered. Every circumstance and every people situation is covered. Unto all patience and long-suffering. The better translation of the word in chapter 5 is macrothumia. Macrothumia in chapter 5 of James. Now, thumia, anybody ever have a thermos in your lifetime? All right, thermos comes from the word thumia. It has to do with being hot. Macro has to do with being long. And the whole purpose of a thermos is to keep whatever you put in there a long time hot. Right? Okay. So that's macrothumia in James chapter 5. And that has to do with people. And what God is saying is, when you have this character quality in your life, if it's sincerely there, if it's authentically there, and it's operative in your life, it will take you a long time to get hot towards other people. The best word I know to translate it, maybe some of your Bibles will translate this way, is long-suffering. You suffer long with people. You suffer long with people. And I'm telling you, that is a much-needed character quality in life. It's a much-needed character quality in family life. It's a much-needed character quality in church life. It's a much-needed character quality in employment life. It's a much-needed character quality in the arena of the community life. To suffer long, without anger, without bitterness, without being irritable, without being frustrated, without lashing out with your tongue, without giving them a piece of your mind, without being critical, without being accusing, I'm telling you, that will take a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. You talk about a sign and wonder miracle. Paul talked about the signs of an apostle. He said it's going to take a miracle of God to produce that. That will be a sign and wonder miracle that demonstrates. Some of the time I get a little, I think we need to take a look at the credentials that God gives. And when God gives credentials, he talks about how does a person respond to suffering? How does a person deal with adversity? How does a person deal with irritable people? It doesn't matter how many years of Bible college I have had. If these character qualities are not being developed and coming forth in my life, those character qualities are the credentials that gives you a right to be able to speak with some semblance of understanding of the power of the life of Jesus Christ. But it's the same for all of us. Our credentials is not so much what the world gives us. Our credentials is what God works in us by the supernatural power of the life of Jesus Christ. And we need to keep that in mind because the wisdom that comes from above, the wisdom that comes from above is it's by the furnace of what's taking place in a man's character inside of him. You get the wisdom in the furnace of affliction, the furnace of tribulation, the furnace of trials. In Romans chapter 5, he says, tribulation works patience. Patience works experience, and experience works hope. Why do people lose hope? Because they don't have the patience. Don't have the patience. I mean, one of the challenges we have in life is instant gratification. Instant, you got a lot of instant stuff going on. And with God, God uses agriculture to teach us this principle. He talks about the farmer here in James 5. The farmer. He says, consider the farmer, and the farmer must have long patience. Long patience. Now, several things about reaping and sowing I want to bring out here. Let me give you the other Greek word before I start down this road. The other Greek word is hupomone. Hupomone is the ability to remain under pressure. It's hupomone, mone, remain, hupa, under, remain under. But the pressure here is not so much people, but your circumstances. You're able to negotiate the storms of life and the circumstances of life with the quietness of God, the rest of God, the peace of God, the joy of God, and you're able to give thanks to God. You're able to give praise to God for everything that he's allowed. In, like it says in James 1, the word in James 1 is hupomone. My brethren, count it all joy when various trials. In chapter 5, it's talking about the rich oppressing the worker. And it's talking about the people problem there, the corrupt, rich people problem. And so the long-suffering is on the people side. That's the macrothumos word. And the trial side is hupomone in James 1. And you, in that Colossians passage, one of them is translated long-suffering. That's macrothumia. The other one's translated patience. That's hupomone, which is characteristic of a believer that's walking worthy. So, and it's all through the scripture, which, by the way, I'd encourage you. One thing that's very helpful to me is when I get focused on something, I start looking for it in other places of scripture. So as a homework assignment for the sermon of the day, okay, which will be quite beneficial to your whole lifetime, is whenever you're looking in the Bible, because he talks about Job, he talks about the prophets, everywhere you look in the Bible, you can see something about patience going on, patience going on, patience going on, in the two dynamics of what I'm talking about here. Now, lest you get the wrong idea of patience, don't think that it is passivity. This another character quality that's at the in the upper tier is meekness. And don't ever think meekness is weakness. A meek person has got to have a lot of miracle working power from God. Meekness is not weakness, but strength under control. And meekness has to do with my will. My strong, stubborn, prideful ego of self-will being yielded to God. If my will is yielded to God, I will have a brokenness and I will be able to be patient and be able to be long-suffering. So meekness is in the upper tier with patience. That's why Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden with life, and it's got you down. We're not just talking about unbelievers. We're talking about believers. "Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you," which means you yield your stubborn, prideful ego of self-will to him. And you have a spirit of brokenness. And all you want is his will. That's all you want, is his will to be done. I'm telling you, it takes a lot of grace from God on that. It takes a lot of supernatural workings of God, surgery from God, surgery in the heart. And in James 5, I don't even have time to talk about it, but he says, if you do this properly, he says, God will establish your heart. It's right there in James 5. People are trying to get their heart right with God, This is one of the major keys to it right here. He said, God will establish your heart. Now, he says in Proverbs, "My son, what do I need you to give me?" There's a lot of things we give to God, but God says, "My son, give me your heart." And if you really give me your heart, you'll be able to see me work supernaturally. If you've done serious business with me in the altar closet of your prayer life, and you've given your will, you've surrendered your will, and you're no longer stubborn and prideful with your own insistence that it's going to be your way or the highway, and you never get any resolution. But if you yield it all to God, and you say, "God, I mean it. I really mean it. I really don't want my will to be done. Because if I stay in the driver's seat and keep insisting on my will, car wreck, car wreck, car wreck, car wreck. I'm tired of the car wrecks. I'd like to enter into the abundant life." He talks about the happy man in James 5. I thought about what Jesus said. He connects the happy man with patience. I thought about what Jesus said. He said, "I came that you might have life, and you might have it in what way? Abundant life." You cannot enter into the abundant life without understanding the dynamics of patience. Because you're constantly thinking, it's got to happen now or there's no blessing yet. Right? Now, let's go back to the agriculture, since I'm out of time. And I want to say that it's not passivity. Some of the hardest working people in the world are farmers. Okay? Farmers. I could go down the list of all the things that farmers have to do, and it's a lot of hard work. There's nothing easy about being a farmer. So if we're to develop these qualities, it's not like we just passively sit back and say, "I'll just be patient." No, it doesn't work that way. We have to be actively cooperating with God, actively believing God. Now, if you haven't surrendered your will, you're not going to be wanting to go where God wants to go. So you're not going to get any resolution. But if you have surrendered your will, and you truly do mean you want to go where God's going, then you have the basis of cooperating with God. I tell you, where God's headed works. What God's up to, it's going to happen. Now, if you're going your own way, it's not going to work. But if you surrender, and really this is a deep part of patience here, surrender of the will, yieldingness of the will, brokenness before God. God is near to those who are of a broken heart and a contrite spirit. That's how you get near to God, and how you get resolution to get the peace you need in your life. And I'm talking about a peace that passes human understanding. How can you have peace when you got all these different things going on in your life? Well, God said you can. And there's been many people that have proven it in their lifetime. That's what that cloud of witnesses is about. We're talking about a joy that is unspeakable. How can you have joy when such things are happening? We're talking about joy unspeakable and full of God's glory. We're talking about when you, well, from the human point of view, you see no blessing, you see no reason to joy, you see no reason to have peace from the human point of view. But because you're looking at people and you're looking at circumstances from your own point of view. And so we need to pray, God, open my eyes. Open my eyes. That I can look at people and look at circumstances the way you look. So that I know how to pray and know how to give and know how to serve and know how to minister. So that not only can, you know, he talks about the farmer waits for the precious fruit. Why does he call it the precious fruit? Because people need food to live. And I'm telling you, Jesus said, without me, he said, I am the bread of life. If we don't get what we need through the bread of life through Jesus, we don't have any spiritual life. And so as we wait on the Lord in prayer for the food we need, and we wait on the Lord in prayer for the food that others need, we're like a farmer. We're waiting for the precious fruit of spiritual life that God most certainly can provide. To me, it's so wonderful. Listen, don't think that your situation is impossible. Can I say that again? What does the Bible say? With God, what does the Bible say? With God, all things are possible. Do not curse the project. I call it cursing the project. Well, it's going to be a terrible day today. Well, it's going to be a terrible day because that's, you know, how you feel about it. You're cursing the project. Don't curse the project. Bless the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice. You say, well, what is there to rejoice about? I got this over here and this over here and this over here and this over here. Hey, have you got the Lord Jesus himself? If you got the Lord Jesus, you got the joy. If you got the Lord Jesus, you got the peace. So enough said. You can see why I got stuck on this. Let's pray together. Our Father, it's easy to speak the words. But when you get in the trenches of life, the powers of darkness will battle us with raging fervor. They do not want us to be set free. They do not want us to be liberated. They do not want the burden to be undone. They want us to keep being heavy laden. And I'm asking you, Father, to open the eyes of our spiritual understanding that we can know the hope of our calling, the riches of our inheritance, and the exceeding greatness of your power when you raise Jesus Christ from the dead. And I pray that every believer would be able to enter in to the patience and circumstances and the patience with people and have a quietness in their soul that nothing, absolutely nothing, can take away from them. I ask you, God, as your word says, that you would guard our heart and our mind in Christ Jesus and teach us how to enter into that. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.